Last Sunday I began a series entitled Accepted in the Beloved. And actually, in some of your Bibles, some of you who do not have the Old King James, it will read Accepted in the One He Loved. That is, in the One that God loved. We are accepted in the One that God loved. Last week I made this statement. Most of us seldom say what we really mean. Most of us never expose our real selves, and there's a good reason for the cover-up. We're afraid we will not be accepted. We fear rejection. Rejection's a big thing. We want to be accepted, and especially is this true of young people. That's why the cute little 16-year-old going from bed to bed with the guys is so she'll have stories to tell around her girlfriends about her sexual experiences. It's not that she enjoys that necessarily so much. It's just she wants to be accepted. Amen? That's true. The young man who gets drunk and brags about throwing up all night after a wonderful party of just drink. You know, it's really not that he enjoys that. He just wants to be one of the guys and be accepted. In 40-some years of ministry, the sad fact that I have observed is that not many professing Christians have a personal, experiential, daily, realized assurance that God loves them. And that's really sad. It's more like, God is love. God loves everybody. Yeah, I think there's a God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm not a heathen. Yeah, there's somebody out there did something or other. But a daily encounter with and consciousness of I, Kent Ward Clark, am accepted, loved, and cherished by God, and He is working everything for my good. He is on my side, and who can be against me? Boy, to have that consciousness will bring such joy and power to your life. I don't think many of us live in that light, and it's usually because of the baggage of our past. The baggage of our past life carries over into our Christian life. If you've ever known the power of being rejected by a parent. You know, you bring home a report card with all A's and B's, and Dad says something like this, "Oh, I had old Ms. Van Dyke. That's all she gives is A and B's. You could do better than that." You know, that sort of thing. Or just flat out rejection. Or maybe a father that just totally ignored you. He worked. He brought home a paycheck, but you never had any interaction with him. There was never any real knowledge that He loved you and cherished you. Well, you bring that over into your Christian life and think, well, Mom and Dad didn't, God won't either. And then you get into the tailspin of trying to earn His love. You know, you got to be good enough. You got to do this. You got to do that so God will love you. There's another reason we don't know God loves us, and that's because we don't understand the gospel. Many of you understand the doctrine of the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Baptist Church, Church of God in Christ, First Pentecostal, tongue-talking, hallelujah church. You understand, you know, you got some kind of assent to that theology, but you really don't know the gospel. Oh, it's essential you know the gospel. There are people in here today that are very religious, but you don't know the gospel. You're doing your dead level best to work your way to heaven. You're trying to earn the right to get into heaven. And you feel like that there are things that you must do and things you must not do. And if you don't do those things and not do those other things, then you're going to go to hell for sure. Because you have the mentality that you earn heaven. And all that means is that you don't know the gospel. Listen, if you could be saved by going to church, Let me make this clear. Some of you know this. I've said this enough. But going to church does not make you a Christian any more than walking in your garage makes you an automobile. You don't walk in your garage and say, "Ha, there it is. I'm a Ford van." You don't say stupid stuff like that. Going to church does not make you a Christian. We go to church because we are Christians. We want to be together, so forth. So, I want to try to declare to you again the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, I often hear this third thing too with regard to I don't believe I'm accepted by God because things go wrong in life. You ever had anyone die that you loved out of the clear blue sky? Just, or your children get sick or business goes bad. Ah! God doesn't love me. You know, we've all experienced things like that. That has nothing to do with it at all. But somehow, religiously, we think that way. Well, I want to tell you, we are accepted in the Beloved. And hopefully, I can teach you, Christians, that I can deliver you from a perverted gospel. Some of you are too religious. You got it down pat. You're just not real. Amen. You know, honest people don't go to hell. I'm trying to preach here enough where I make you mad enough or get you glad enough where you just flat out get honest. Amen. You look at what happened this week. That guy had 14,000 church members. He was the head of the evangelical group here in the United States. Lo and behold, he's meeting a male prostitute. He's gay. And he's buying drugs. How many of you heard about that? You know what? That is religion. That is a preacher locked up in a church where you can't be real. You can't be real. That's why I'm always saying to you, y'all are messed up. And so is your pastor. So if I mess up before you do, you say, we already knew he was messed up. He told us. Amen? Amen. But God doesn't mess up. I'm not counting on Kent Clark, and you shouldn't either. And I'm not counting on you either. Man, if I was counting on some of you, the things you say about me. He preached too long. He called us crackheads. He says we're sinners. You know, blah, 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 blah. Some of you are going to say, I wonder who told him I said that. I wonder if he knows it was really me. See, you're dishonest. You're dishonest, but that's okay. We accept dishonest people here. We accept people who've messed up, people who've blown it, people who are crackheads, and, you know, people who are self-righteous Pharisees. We say, come on in here. We know what you really are because we've read the Bible. You need saving by the grace of God. That's right. That's what we say. Now, I want you to consider this. Just think about this for a minute, this statement. The true God, there is a God, and He's God Almighty. He's a God who walked out of eternity one day and said, let there be light. And there was. The true God, the living God, Almighty God, has accepted us who believe. I want you to think that about that. Did you get that? He has accepted those of us who have believed. Now, I hope your attitude is not ho-hum, big deal, so what? Some of you are like this. Yeah, I know that. God loves everybody. Yeah, He's a God of love, buddy-duddy God. Every once in a while, I tip Him. At least on Christmas and Easter, I go to church. You know, I got to get it over with. I'm not a heathen after all. But really, you talk about God as love, but you don't know it. You don't experience it. It's kind of ho-hum. It's just something kind of you take for granted. God loves everybody, some way or other, somehow, I think it'll all work out. You know, you just have this general theistic atheism. I don't know whether that's a word or not. You're really an atheist, but you use the term God every once in a while. Oprah confuses me. I mean, bless her heart, I love her, and I like her shows. And every once in a while, she's such right on track. And then every once in a while, I think she's totally New Age. I just scratch my head. She says, God bless you. She'll say that to people. God bless you. But then she'll say, we're God. And I hope I'm not God. And I hope you're not. Do you understand what it means to be accepted by God? Do you experience that? To be accepted. Now watch this. We are accepted by God in the beloved. That's what Ephesians 1:6 says. How does God accept us? In the church? In baptism? In our good works? In our morality? No. We are accepted outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. Boy, that will change everything once you begin to see that. Once you find out, you don't have to go to confession. You don't have to say 20 Hail Marys to be accepted by God. How come it's getting quiet in here? That God does not accept you on the basis of what you do. He accepts you on the basis of His Son, Jesus Christ. Totally outside of you. And when you come to face the declaration of God's holy word, you come to the conclusion that you and I, by nature, we are not accepted. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean this. No one in here sets their children down and tells them, now today mommy's going to teach you how to steal, lie, and cheat. That's today's lesson. And I'm going to throw this into, I will also show you how to stick out your tongue and spit at mommy. How many of you have noticed you didn't have to teach your kids how to sin and be disrespectful? Many children learn shut up before they learn mommy and daddy. Many of them learn to lay on the floor and kick and just scream and scream and scream and scream. I have people come to me all the time. I just can't handle my 3-year-old. I can handle your 3-year-old. Amen. You know what you're saying? That 3-year-old is out of control. That 3-year-old got his or her nature from you and your mate. Right? So what you see kicking on the floor, screaming with murder in their heart because you will not let them do what they want to do, is a real little demon. Not an angel. And as that little guy grows, he becomes more aggressive, sneakier, smarter in sin. You ever heard this? You must be born again because there's something radically wrong with you. You need to be born over again with a different nature because it seems like you're out of control. And so God works this miracle of the new birth and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. You and I are not accepted by nature. We're not born little angels. There are no halos over anybody's babies. Not even yours, mother. Had a woman say, yeah, I know most kids are demons except mine. What was she saying? She was a self-righteous person. She didn't even know herself. How come y'all looking at me that way? Let's get honest now. What about our actions? Can we be accepted by God by our actions? What about all those secrets that fill this room? All the secrets. We have about 300 people here today. I wonder how many secrets we got in this room. Ooh, that's a scary, ugly thought, isn't it? That is a scary, ugly thought. How many things have you done that you didn't get caught? Maybe happened 30 years ago. You still know about it. Nobody knows but you. Secrets. Secrets. In other words, we're not accepted by our nature and we're not accepted by our actions. Our actions are not good enough. You and I, from the womb, are not accepted. You and I, by our choices, are not accepted. We are unacceptable to God by our nature, by our choices, by our actions. We do not come into the world acceptable. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to offend you. Some of you took your babies, and you've got holy water sprinkled on their head. And while the holy man was sprinkling holy water, that baby was saying, "Holy cow, let me out of here." Have you ever seen a baby throw a fit while the holy man is sprinkling water on that kid's forehead? That holy water doesn't work. I've seen some of you grow up. There is no magic in the holy water. And so we grow up living in a world unacceptable. We all come into the world sinners. We grow up in the world expressing that nature of sin in this world in various attitudes. You know, that's something that's big to me. When you get a person saved, their attitude changes. Their attitude changes. Their actions change. Their words change. They become like Jesus. They care about people. They're loving. They're tender. They want to get the gospel out. They want to comfort people. They're not mean and cruel and backbiting and hurting. We came into this world with a nature that hates God, not wanting anything to do with God, telling Him to keep His cotton-picking hands off us. Oh, when it's convenient, we'll show up at church. We'll acknowledge there's a God when it's convenient. Otherwise, you know, I love to be right in the midst of a bunch of heathens and talk about God. Because I'm not ashamed of my God. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my God. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Well, we got a paradox here. By nature, by choice, by my actions, I'm a sinner. I'm not accepted. But then what does the Scripture say? That has nothing to do with it. I am accepted, not by my nature, my actions, or my choices. I'm accepted in Jesus Christ, the Beloved. You know, the hardest thing for a preacher to do is get a lost man to believe God has rejected him, and get a saved man to believe God has accepted him. I've noticed that's a hard job. See, some of you are out there like this. Oh, yeah, I wonder how long he's going to go on with that. I've known God. God loves everybody. God's a good God, the almighty good God. He's kind of like Santa Claus. He just kind of blesses everybody. See, you're sitting out there. You don't care. All you care about is getting out of here. But some of you are sitting out there, you're going like this. Oh, I know I'm a sinner by nature. I know what he's talking about. Somebody's told him about all my secrets. He's read my mail. He knows all about. I couldn't be a child of God. There is no way I could be a child of God. And I'm up here trying to convince you. Your actions, your nature, your choices have nothing to do with your acceptance. You are accepted in Jesus Christ. I mean, just between us girls, aren't we all mess ups? I mean, aren't we mess? I mean, just look at us. Just look at us. What a bunch of mess ups. But we've been accepted. That's the wonder about this group called Christians. We're accepted. And God wants us to know that. Right? God wants you to not only know that, experience that. I see people crying and mourning and they're really hurting all the time, and they are confessing themselves to be Christians, and they go like this, "Oh, Pastor, I know everything's working for my good." You do? You're not acting like it. That doesn't mean you can't weep over certain things. A loved one dies, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. We have a good hope. Yeah, we're going to miss you, but we're going to see you again too. We have a good hope. Paul said, we know that all things work together for good. I want to ask you, Christian, do you know that? If you know that, it will empower your life. God loves me. I'm accepted, and He's working everything for my good. God's accepted me in Jesus Christ. Yes, 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 yes. Christians are such messed up people. And you know, I preach this all over the country, and church people as a whole come up to me and like, "You really confused me today. I've never heard any. I've been in church all my life. You really confused me." About what? Well, that God has accepted us outside of ourselves. You know, I've been around the world in churches. I've been to every kind, color, shape, and form in 43 years. And a lot of folks don't know the gospel. And a lot of folks trying to get saved by what they do. Work and you know, I can't find any happy churches. That's why I started this. I said, figured out, wow, I'm going to start my own. See if we can have a happy church. This church ought to be every person in here. I don't care, though you wallowed in the stables of sin, you're as black as all hell, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you know God loved you before you were ever born, before you ever came into the world. And you were predestined. Amen. Don't go backing up on that word. We believe in predestination around here. Nothing can stop me because God predetermined me to salvation. Amen. You didn't kiss the rabbit's foot and get saved. You didn't get saved because you don't walk under ladders or horseshoes or you didn't break a mirror. You got saved on purpose. Somebody was after you before you ever knew it. Somebody loved you before you were ever born. Somebody predetermined your destiny and marked the day on the calendar that you would meet up with God. Boy, when you begin to find out that, hey, I'm not gas and dust. My granddaddy didn't swing from a tree by his tail either. I'm here on purpose. I was appointed to be here. Amen. Even those of you who don't know who your daddy or your mother was, and you're here. Years ago, I had a little lady come up to me in my class over at Grace Centers, and she said to me, with tears running down in her cheek, she said, "Would God love a bastard like me?" Oh, I could have said, but she was crying, I could have said, "That's the only people we love." You'll get that when you get home. Us. Illegits, us mess ups, us nobodies. Hey, if you're a mess up, I got some good news for you. God came into the world to save sinners. Are you one? Do you qualify? Now, if you're a good person, you don't qualify. You ever think about all of our pride and arrogance and lust? You know, I'm around wealthy people a lot. You know, wealthy people aren't any happier than crackheads. The reason I keep using that because it makes some of you mad. That's the only reason I do it. When you quit writing letters and grumbling about it, then I won't say it anymore. I know you're all right. That's right. Nobody. It doesn't make any difference. You know, the truth is, you can in California, you can go to the lowest below sea level or the highest above sea level and still be in California. And that's the way it is in the world of sinnership. It doesn't make any difference whether you're down here in the crack house or way up here with all the money you could ever want. Still an emptiness on the inside. Still gangrene on the inside. You must be born again. You must come to know God. What a wonderful thing it is to come to know God. That empty place is finally filled with His person and presence. when we come to see that the worst about us or the best about us, it doesn't matter. What I was going to say a while ago about being in these churches all over the world, every church I go in has a list. Some churches don't believe in roller skating and makeup. Some churches believe in eating fish on Friday. Is that still in? But not practice much. Kind of iffy. But anyway, and you know what denominational people do? Catholics look at the Baptists, the Baptists look at the Catholics. We got our list. We look at you, you're a Catholic. Okay. You're breaking all 10 on my list. Catholics look at the bat. You know what the lists are? This is cow manure, and this is horse manure. It's just a difference in time. That's all. The lists don't matter. Am I too bold for you? The lists don't matter. We are not accepted because of what we do on the list. You can be a good Baptist and die and go to hell, keeping the list. Let me tell you what was on the Baptist list. I never played pool. I never went to a drive-in theater. I never wore shorts. I was an all-state football player. Never wore shorts in 90-degree practice. You know why? You go straight to hell, you wear shorts. I met Miss Pam. She was an all-state diver. And I said to her, I don't believe in mixed bathing. She said, neither do I. I've never taken a bath with anybody. That was going to the beach swimming. That was mixed bathing. That's the way I was raised. And that way I was scoring points, you know, thinking God was going to accept me. The girls, Shannon and Amber, will not play cards with me to this day because I go like this. I got three of those black cards with puppy paws. And then I got a J Joker, you know. They quit a long time ago. In elementary school, they wouldn't play cards with me. Religion. Trying to be accepted by God. We are accepted in the beloved. I want to hurry here now. In the 1611 version of your Bible, if you've got a King James version, it says that in verse 6, Ephesians 1, 6, that we are accepted in the beloved or beloved. Really, beloved ought to be capitalized because that's Christ. It really ought to be capitalized. We are accepted in Christ, in Him, by Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. God accepts sinners, hell-deserving sinners, not because they joined the church, not because they've been sprinkled or immersed, but He accepts them for Jesus' sake. All of God's gracious dealings with sinners are in Christ and by Christ and through Christ. The emphasis is Christ. Christ. Do you know Christ? Have you trusted Christ? Here's where the emphasis is. That God so loved, He came into the world in the person of His Son. Listen, if you could be saved by going to church, why did God come down here? What's He doing on the cross? If you can be saved by being good, by doing the best you can, what is He doing on the cross? The reason He came down here is because there was no other way. And what religion has done is simply done this. Yes, it's Jesus, plus, 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 plus. And what the Bible declares is it's Jesus alone. No plus, no minus. Jesus alone. What's your ticket, preacher? Jesus Christ. Who's your redemption, preacher? Jesus Christ. Who's the propitiation for your sins, preacher? Jesus Christ. What's your hope of heaven? Preacher, Jesus Christ. What's your merit? What's your value? Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way it is. And I experience Him on a daily basis. You know why life's so good? I'm the happiest man in the world, really. Well, besides space. Think about this. Here's what the Bible says. That we are accepted in Jesus Christ. And John 17 says this, that God has loved us as He has loved His own Son. I can't get down that deep. That God so loves me. In John 17:24, it says, Father, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me, and Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want you to think about that a little bit. Before there was a world, God already loved you. Not everybody, you. God loved a whole bunch of people before He ever created this world. Now, in order to love them particularly, and by the way, you know, Miss Pam doesn't get real excited when I go like this. You know, I just love all women. I love all women. If they're a female, I'm just telling you, I love them. You know, that just doesn't float her boat. When I say to her, you're the most beautiful, the most precious woman in all the world to me, she has a very different little smile that I love comes over her face. You ever thought about this? Has God ever told you this? I love you. You. Do you know that? God loves you. Not God loves everybody, ho-hum. God loves you. And I want you to know I loved you before there was a world. Before I ever said, let there be light, I loved you. I wrote your name down in the book. I watched you as you messed up, messed up, and messed up. Many times you would have been dead had I not sent an angel to stop. That'll give you goosebumps if you ever get into it. That I'm not an accident. I'm on purpose. You know why I'm so confident about what's going on here? Because God's in control. I could have taken it, believe it or not, I probably wouldn't have lasted too long in one of those upper churches, but, you know, I have had a few offers along the way. I don't want to be there. There, you can't breathe there. I want to be somewhere where there's big sinners. Slimy, worthless folks, and watch God totally turn them around. And they fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's what I've seen here in 20 years. Never thought about that? God has loved me before there was a world. This last thing. God proved the reality and greatness of His love to me in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. How many of you in here have said goodbye to your child? They've gone off to college or somewhere and you've said goodbye. Well, many of you. That's not fun, folks. When Amber got married, I walked down that aisle with a smile on my face, but inside. I remember when they were little, I'd go into their bedroom and I'd see them sleeping and I would say this to myself. One of these days you're going to leave me. And I would cry. There was a time when the Father in heaven sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin. There was a time when Jesus Christ left the Father. And the Bible says that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. That's so far beyond me. There was a time when He said, go, my son. Accomplish the work that I've given you to do. And He watched as that embryo, that fetus, good thing we didn't have abortion then, as that fetus was formed in the womb of Mary the Virgin, God watched. And He watched and said, that's my son. That's my boy. That's my beloved. The one in which all my love is channeled. And upon Him, the elect of God are accepted. He watched as He was born and was laid there in that feeding trough. What a delightful thing it was as I came down Seneca Street today and I saw a manger with a cradle. And it reminded me, one day, Jesus came, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He watched as He increased in wisdom and stature, with favor with God and with men. He said, "My Son has gone into the world. He's gone there to accomplish a task, the work upon which all the ages have met." He watched as He preached there in Nazareth, and He said, "This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears." And He watched as the unbelief spread across their faces and entered into their hearts. He watched as they took His Son and would have taken Him to the brow of that hill and thrown Him over and would have killed Him that day. God watched. He watched as He camped by the roadside those 3 years, by the creekside, the riversides of Palestine. He said, "The foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but my Son, my boy, has not a place to lay His head." He watched as He moved toward Jerusalem, to His rejection and to His final trial, to His shameful and painful death. He watched the Beloved. The Beloved is going there to Calvary. He watched as He Himself laid the sins of His people upon Him and took the sword of His own justice from its sheath and pierced His soul with its point. He watched and beheld.